Hey folks, my name is Brett and I'm one of the hosts of Skeleton House, an audio-only Let's Play podcast where my two friends, Jess...
What is happening? Oh my god!
...and Steve...
Even he looks spooked.
...play through video games and I edit them, add context, and act as your eyeballs. Also, we have a cat. Come check us out at skeletonhouse.buzzsprout.com or look up Skeleton House on your favorite podcast app. Or your least favorite podcast app. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life.
Welcome back to another Bill's JRPG Adventures, another Trappings podcast. Yes, hello, it's me again. You're back once again with a renegade I've done that joke so many times. Anyway, you're back with me, Bill. And we are back again with some more Live Alive goodness. And it's a special... Excuse me. It's a special one this week because I think this may be my favourite chapter so far. It's pretty damn good. I really like this one. But yes... Just sort of like quick update, people, as you've been seeing, there's been a lot of stuff hitting the feed recently as I've been getting my old Let's Plays over onto the channel, you know, consolidating my my Let's Play debt, as it were. And I've been slowly migrating everything over. One episode a day. I don't want to flood you guys out too much, although that's still quite a lot. So I'm almost finished with the Saga, which is the Final Fantasy Legends series. That's nearly up. I think there's only one more episode of that to go. I've also nearly finished the Phantasy Star 2 series. I believe we got to the episode 5 is the particularly emotional episode of that. If you do want to go back and check it out. I get a bit emotional, and then I explain myself a bit more at the beginning of episode 6, but that was a particularly good one. And, the Pokemon Blue, there's still quite a few more of the Pokemon Blue ones. So eventually you'll just be getting Pokemon Blue for a little bit. I think I've got 16 episodes of that ready to go out. I've released 6, I think, so another 10 to go. And then I will continue my Let's Plays of that series. And yes, all in the meantime, I'm trying to squeeze out my Saga, Romancing Saga 3 series at the same time. Trying to get that out to your lovely ear rolls. So you can enjoy me playing computer games. Occasionally. Not often. Really not often. Sorry about that. So, yes, we are having lots and lots of fun, aren't we? But this is not what we're here for. We're here to talk about Live Alive, and this week's episode is about the Mechanical Heart. Yes, this is Cube's scenario, people. And this one takes place in the distant future. And it's referred to as the science fiction chapter, The Mechanical Heart. I love this chapter. This chapter really kind of brought forth to me feelings of like the first time you sat down and watched A Space Odyssey 2001. Now you can see it was heavily influenced on that. There's obviously Alien heavily influenced this scenario as well. But I like it. There's no real battles in this scenario at all. Like there's a mini game you can play, which is the battle game. But other than that, it's just kind of, you've just got to walk around and solve this murder mystery that's going on. And it's really, really fun. Because you start off on this transport ship, which is called the Contigo Egrosium, and it's en route to planet Earth. And inside there's a new kind of creature that's being crated to Earth for some reason. So, you know, that's the alien bit. And then there's a robot which is created by a character called Kato, who's the mechanic, and he will be... And yeah, it's just... That's Cube, okay? Cube is damn cute. You know, he's like a little ball. I don't know why he's called a cube, but he's just like his little ball. He's got a little red cap on that's backwards. He's wearing roller skates and glasses. He's just so cool. I just love him to bits. He's just so funny. He's got these orange glasses. He's kind of designed to look like Kato a little bit as well, which is kind of cute. So it's just funny. But he's just like, he never speaks, Cube. He doesn't do anything like that during the game. He's a very kind, caring little robot. He wants to protect everyone. And yeah, he's just so cool. So Cube was created on the ship, and it was actually Kato's third model. And initially Cube was meant to be the ship's worker robot, and was taught all sorts of things by the rest of the crew, like how to make coffee. Bastard crew. And there's a lot of like racist undertones in this, mostly towards mechanical objects. There's one particular character who's very racist towards Cube, but we'll get to that in a second. So yeah, come on, I'll dive into the most. You know, I spoke about Cube. We're on a spaceship. We're in space. Musically, this section's great because there isn't a lot of music. It does what Space Odyssey does, what Stanley Kubrick does really well. Kubrick, also, little factoid for you, the reason he was named Cube, which was kind of something chosen by the by the staff who made the game, was because of Stanley Kubrick. Kubrick? Cube. Yeah, get it? Good. But yeah, the music is just so ominous throughout the game. Just got this like mild background music, but otherwise quiet background noises. That's it. Just adds to the tension. So much tension in this scenario. I love it. Absolutely love it. So like I said, there's no real combat in this scenario. Okay, you just sort of got to go through, puzzling out what you've got to do until you get to the final battle. Yeah, and there's a mini game which you can play at one of the terminals called Captain Square, which is kind of like a weird sort of, you know, it's the live fighting mechanics where you've got the grid and people, things move around the grid and you get to kill them. So kind of like, yeah, you know, a mini sort of tactical / turn-based RPG type system, which is the same with all the fighting in Live Alive. But there's one thing where you get to play that as like a computer game. And there's also part of the story, you can find a memory card in the captain's, in one of the characters' chambers, and you can use that memory card to actually save your progress in the game, which is kind of cool. I like that little touch. That was really good. So this chapter was actually, so, you know, as I've been talking about Shogakukan manga, basically almost donated a lot of their artists to work on the Live Alive project. So who's in the spotlight today? Who designed Cube and the gang? for Mechanical Heart. It was Yumi Tamura, who is a prolific manga artist. And she actually debuted back in 83 with This Time Is For Us. But back in 1983, she received a Shogakukan grand prize for new artists. And yeah, she's completed 50 volumes of short stories and other popular works. There goes Tomoe exemplifies her work especially. But she made her reputation with the long-running Shoho action-adventure Barasa, for which she won, again, another manga award from Shogakukan in 1993 for Shoho Manga. I don't know what Shoho is. Her latest series, Seven Seeds, won a Shogakukan Manga Award for Shoho as well in 2003. So she's been very prolific over the years. And even her series Chicago was the first series to be published in America. And that's pretty much all I've got on her. So yeah, check her out. She's got some long-running series. She's completed a hell of a lot of works. And yeah, and she designed the cube character for this scenario. So let's talk about the story of the Mechanical Heart, shall we? So we start off and we're on this ship flying through space called the Cognito Ergo Sum, which in Latin stands for I think, therefore I am. Ha ha ha. Remember that, people, remember that. And you start off, one of the characters awakes from cold sleep, which is a character called Kato, who's got blue hair and a hat. So Kato comes out of cold sleep, goes to his rooms, and he starts working on this little robot thing that's sitting in the corner. And then eventually starts moving around, and he's absolutely bowled over. He's like, oh my god, I didn't think that was going to work. That's amazing. And so he's thinking of what he's going to name it. So he's like, maybe I should have called it Round, because it's like this big round robot thing. Then he goes, no, actually, I'm going to call it the opposite. I'm going to call it Cube. So off you trot, and you got to go to this special little terminal to register Cube as a member of the crew. And like I said before, Cube is just immensely cute. He makes this really sweet little noise, goes and then sort of spins around, almost like having this weird little budgie hanging around with you. But it's really, really cool. So yeah, you get registered as a member of the queue of the crew, but you don't have much access to stuff. You know, you can't go into the crew members' rooms or anything. You can go into the mess hall and around to a few other places, but a lot of the ship's kind of locked down to you at the moment. But you have to go with Kato, and you have to go wake up the crew from cold sleep. So that's what you do. So who is the crew of the Cognito Ergo Sum? It is the crew members are Kirk, who you may recognise the name Kirk from a certain Captain Kirk from the Star Wars series. Kirk's later on in his room, we actually find a book which is all about the theory of warp speed, which is kind of funny. There's Huey, Rachel, who's the comms person. There's Corporal Darth, who is Darth after Darth Vader. He's actually he's a military person who's looking after the contents that the crew is transporting through space, which we'll talk about shortly. And then there's the captain, and then there's the there's the captain, and then there is what is in the cargo hold, which is a gigantic motherfucking behemoth. So, first of all the crew meet up in the mess, to wake up and have something to eat from their cold sleep. Very much reminiscent of Alien. Again, this storyline very much heavily pulls upon Alien and 2001 as their inspiration, kind of almost mixed mashing the two together. And so the first thing you've got to do as a robot is learn to make coffee for people. Yes, yes, yes. Baristas, fear for your jobs, because one day you'll all be replaced by mechanical baristas who will make really bitter coffee that the crew don't like, which is the case here. The crew don't like the coffee. And Darth especially actually attacks Cube and states his disdain and his hatred for robots. And he's like outright racist towards it. And I haven't seen Alien in a while, but there is one guy who is kind of racist towards robots in that as well. but yeah, it's just one of those things. And then you kind of, you know, you feed them coffee, you're allowed to walk around the ship a little bit, you go down and investigate what's in the cargo hold, and you have a look at this big, gigantic green behemoth that's sitting inside the case. And kind of while you're doing these things, you get little interactions between the crew, and they're generally all quite bitchy about each other, which is kind of fun. Eventually, the comms go down and become like a one-way comm system. And Kirk's just very impatient. He's like, no, I'm going to go fix this. I'm going outside. So him and Huey go downstairs to go on a spacewalk. But when we get to the airlock room, Kirk is actually having a fight with Huey. And he's just like, see, this is why you're so pathetic. This is why Rachel dumped you. So we've got a little bit of interaction there. So Huey was dating Rachel. Rachel dumped him at some point and is now seeing Kirk. So instead, Huey doesn't go outside. And it's actually Kirk and Kato go out onto the spacewalk to try and fix the problems with the communications. But then, unfortunately, while they're outside, Kirk's suit actually fouls on him. And the life support just goes down. So they quickly rush him in. They rush him into sick bay, but he sadly dies. And sick bay is really cool. So sorry, I know I just mentioned someone died and I was talking about something else. But yeah, sick bay is really cool because there's a decontamination room that you have to enter first that then sort of flashes red, comes off before you're allowed to enter. So they really add that aesthetic to the game. And there's lots of things like that in the game, and it actually works to slow down this chapter a lot, which sounds bad, but it actually really adds to the tension of it. You know, you have to go to sick bay, be decontaminated, get into the room, then let the scene play out. And it's just like all these little steps really add up to how well this chapter works together for me. I could probably see some people thinking this is far too slow, there's no combat, blah, blah, blah. But I really, really like it. I feel like the tension from the music, from the atmosphere, the way the levels designed, just absolutely brilliant. And that was like another nice little trick that I really liked, you know, decontamination before you go into sick bay. That was really, really cool. But at this point, with Kirk dead, Rachel's very, very upset. Huey's just like, I don't understand how this can happen. I checked his suit himself. And Darth's like, you checked it, did you, Huey? Darth's getting quite suspicious of Huey at this point. But then there's an explosion somewhere on the ship. And they run up to the where all the stuff happens, like in Star Trek, like the deck, the bridge is the one. Bloody bridge. Why did that escape my brain? So they all run up to the bridge, and then they find that actually there's the antenna has completely come off and they have a full comms failure. And then on a couple of points, the captain appears on screen, has a chat with the crew, and they tell him that Kirk's dead, and he doesn't even flinch. He just goes, oh, that's unfortunate. And it's really strange, the captain's reactions. So we don't meet the captain at any point, but he's just weirdly on screen every now and then, sort of being weird. And then we find Kirk's body has actually disappeared. And we actually find him in Rachel's room. She's taken Kirk and put his body in her bed and is looking after him and trying to make him some cookies. So, Rachel has snapped and gone absolutely batshit crazy, which is just hilarious. And then it makes things even worse. When Huey enters the room, she suddenly sort of snaps into it and goes, this is your fault, Huey. You killed him thinking I'd come back to you. And Huey's like, no, that doesn't make any sense. And then she gets an email. And it's from Kirk saying, I'm outside the airlock. Huey is trying to get rid of me. Come save me. And she's just like, what? And then runs off. and tries to evacuate herself from the airlock, which almost gets Kato and Cube killed. They almost get sucked out, but they just manage to close the doors in time. Which I don't think works. I know you always see that in movies where the airlock opens and all the air is getting sucked out. But I think it would literally take like a split second for the air to exit the entire room, even if it's sealed off from the other ship. You wouldn't get that sort of like long drawn out of couple of minutes where you get to have a little battle and stuff while everything's been sucked out. I think it would literally just be like 1 or 2 seconds decompression, and then your brain would probably come out of your ears. But anyway, on that lovely note, so this strange email, like, where did it come from? Like, Kirk's dead. He couldn't have sent it. While all that's happening, the behemoth actually escapes from its cage. So holy shit, there's a giant behemoth now walking around the ship. And if at any point you bump into it, you die instantly. That's the rules, okay, people? So you can't touch the behemoth. And it really, again, just adds to the tension. This is just like Alien. The alien is walking around the ship, and if you see him, yeah, dead. Pretty much. Unless you're the cat. The cat will always survive. We all know this. And then also, with the behemoth on the loose, it injures Rachel and kills Huey. And so they're both dead. Rachel's not confirmed dead at this point. We put her into cold sleep to try and save her. So at this point, Huey gives you the power jack, which I thought I'd mention, which you can use to open certain locked doors in the... Because now the spaceship becomes locked down a lot. So there's a lot of like... almost like space doors, you know, come down, they've locked, so you need to use a power jack to open them, but you only get a certain amount of uses of the power jack, so you can't just go around willy-nilly opening things. You have to try and strategically work your way around while avoiding the behemoth, trying not to die while you're doing the last bits of the quests. So we decide to break into the captain's room, and we actually find that the captain is dead on the floor. And then this is the point where Darth and Kato start turning on each other and be like, well, you must have done it because we're the only ones left. So it's like, no, you must have done it because I'm here. And it's just like, nope. And then eventually, after a bit of investigation walking around, you go into Kato's room and there's another cube robot. So this is when you're exploring the ship, you do find one of his former robots that he tried to make, but it didn't have a power source. You now find it up and operational in the room, and it's attacking Kato. And then it's, as you walk in, it stops, and then Darth comes in behind you. He's like, oh my god, there's two of them. And then this is the point where he says, Kato goes, if you can, I will know which one's the real one, because it should remember what I originally tried to call it. Now, as you remember, he's called Cube, which is the opposite of what he looks like, so he was called Round. So that's the answer you have to put in. If you get the answer wrong, Darth kills you. If you get the answer right, Darth kills the robot. But the imposter robot then starts to go, I am all powerful, I wanna die. And we basically find out that he's called OD-10 or ODO. And he actually says OD-10 Ergonaut. Then the name of the ship, Congenus Ergorosium. So it's like ODO, I think, therefore I am. Oh, it's chilling, people. I feel tingles down my spine. Ooh. So we find out that yes, in fact the real villain here, 2001 style, how it's the mother computer is to blame for everything. It's locked down the ship, and so Darth and Cube now have to work together to try and get Cube access to the system in order to fight OD-10. And so we go up to the mother brain computer first. The room's locked, so we can't get in that way. So then Darth goes to the access terminal that we used earlier to register Cube as a member of the crew, and then Cube has to go down to the Captain Square game. Did I mention the Captain Square game? Did I fucking brush over that? In the mess hall, there's a Captain Square game. I know I mentioned that earlier in the review, but you know, Kirk's playing it when you first walk in there, and then you get to have a go on it. And yeah, actually, when you're in Kirk's room after he's dead, if you put in his password into his computer, which is warp, yes, so you read his book, realize he likes warp speed, type in password warp, it says, It sleeps under my feet. And then you look under there, and there's the memory card. So you can play Captain Square to your heart's content, and get through that little mini game for, I think, zero bonus whatsoever. But yes, you get to go up to Captain Square, and then that gets queued into the system, ready to fight Odio, who is not a particularly challenging fight. He's got all these little like satellite things around him which heal him every turn. So you just got to use your Master Cannon, smashing out all of the healing things until you get to just one-on-one with him, and then just hit him with your Master Cannon over and over again. If you need to, you might need to do a high-up upgrade to heal yourself, but other than that, it's just smash him as much as possible with that. Don't worry about the other moves. As with everything in this game, he's got a bunch of moves. You only need Master Cannon. and then that kind of brings it down to the end. It's Kato is kind of unconscious, but he's get put into the sick bay to recover. Darth then limps back into the room. I think he's killed the behemoth with his bare hands. Makes it sounds like. And he's like, I remember during the robot wars on BBC. Do you remember that when there used to be two robots fighting against each other? Probably no one will. But yes, he remembers the robot wars and explains how robots that were made by humans were fighting humans. And that's kind of where his hate and distrust for robots came from. But he comments that Cube was not born in a factory. He was made on this ship by hand. And his only job is to learn and to never hurt humans. And then he goes, God, I must be going crazy because I'm talking to a robot. And then that kind of sums up the end of the chapter. There is a little bonus thing where you can go to the mother computer a bit earlier on and put in a code, and it will access like the captain's logs, I think it is, where it shows what he thinks of the crew members and like how he thinks they're all unstable. They're all going to kill each other eventually. And then at the very end, it says about, Darth basically retires to make friendly robots. Kato recovered after his injuries, and Cube was just found on the ship as a working robot. And that was it. And then the chapter comes to a close. As I said, I loved this chapter. I loved the tension. I loved the music and lack of music. Direction in this chapter was a joy. Absolute, absolute joy. So, so fun. But that brings an end to my rantings on Cube and the Mechanical Heart. I thought this was excellent. I think this is definitely going to end up being my favourite chapter. It will take a lot to knock it off its perch. But next up, I believe it's Pogo and the caveman story, which I have done. Look forward to that coming up in the future, people. And if you're playing along, enjoy. Let me know what you think of the cube chapter. And yeah, we'll be back for more Trappings Alive. Sure. Love you all. Bye.
Do you want to know what this podcast is? I imagine that right now, you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole, Do you believe in fate, listener? Let me tell you why you're here. You are here because we formed opinions on something. Podcasters Assemble is everywhere. We are all around you, even now in this very room. You hear us when you put on your headphones or log into Patreon. You can feel us when you go to work. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. Press skip. The story ends. You wake up at your job and believe whatever you want to believe. You press play. You stay in Wonderland, and we show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all we're offering you are our opinions, nothing more. No one can be told what Podcasters Assemble is. You must experience it for yourself.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.